There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. Engage.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek. As we continue our 50-day countdown to Dragon Con, and as of right now, Lee's joining as always.
It's 23 days, and you're an evil, evil little man. Evil little man.
23 days as we record this. 23 short days. 3 weeks, 2 days. That's what we're at.
I swear to God, I'm going to leave you at the airport and not pick you up.
But the good news for you is that you've already finished your schedule, and it should be set in stone.
I have finished my schedule.
It's set in stone, too, right?
Yeah. It is as set in stone as
anything Dragon Con ever becomes.
There you go. And I'm going to that'll be a great introduction to Jen.
Hi.
Jennifer, who is the track director for Stargate Multiverse. We've had her before, and she knows how this works. And her second, Jamie, who is the person who keeps her, who holds the bail money and keeps her out of trouble. So we've got those two on there. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, how's it going?
I just heard it's 23 days. I'm okay.
I don't know.
I'm feeling the same way.
I don't know.
I'm doing fine. I don't have to do any director things.
Shush up. All right, so you guys have a full schedule this year.
First of all, let me ask, do you guys have your schedule done?
Oh, yeah. I was told by some fans, I don't know if this is true, that we were the first ones to have everything up, but that could be wrong.
Well, I'll be the last one, so it's all right.
I tend to be somewhat, let's see, unflatteringly, I tend to be kind of anal about getting the schedule up as soon as we have to have it in to the senior directors. And Lee knows what I mean by this. It's like you have a deadline and it has to be up, and then it's final, as final as anything gets. But, and it's like the next day I'll post it out to the Facebook group and to the Yahoo group and to the every other group. And
you're a brave, brave woman on that, because honest to God, I meet every deadline, like 90% of the directors. I meet every deadline. Yeah. I was actually putting my schedule in February and March, little bits of it throughout the time. So I was doing that, but then all of a sudden it's like, so you're ready to put it up? I'm like, oh, hells no. No, hell's to the no. No, because something might change.
Here's the thing.
I'm terrified to do that. So I am always off you that do that.
That's why anytime you put a schedule up online, it has the word tentative in big letters. Because then theoretically people will understand, and I'll avoid coughing there.
Let's use that term with theoretical. Yeah.
Right. Theoretical.
That term doesn't mean what you think it means.
Oh, yeah.
For some people. Okay, so let's talk about our happy place right now, Jen.
My happy place or your happy place?
Let's talk about both happy places. So who are the big guests you have coming this year?
We have Amanda Tapping, and anybody that knows me knows what expression is on my face right now. And we have Joe Flanagan, and anybody that knows Lee knows what expression is on her floor right now.
Yes!
It bears saying, though, that we've got an outstanding group from Stargate Universe this year. We've got David Blue, who plays Eli Wallace. We've got Lou Ferreira, who was Colonel Young. We've got Amanda, but I already said that. And we have Patrick Gilmore, who was Dr. Dale Volker. And Julie McNiven, who played Ginn in second season.
And you've got some great Atlantis people. You got David Nichol.
Yes, we've got David Nichol. Joe, as we mentioned, we've got Christopher Heyerdahl, which I'm excited about. And I had the pleasure of speaking with him by phone. Todd the Wraith. And he was Howlin' in was that an SG-1 or an Atlantis episode? Jamie, help me.
I think that was an Atlantis episode.
Yeah, see? We don't all know all of it. Howlin', he was in one or two episodes as a bit character before he became known as Todd the Wraith. And of course, his multiple roles on Sanctuary. We have Beau Bridges coming back this year, which I'm excited about. He's a very interesting man to talk to. And, of course, Pierre Bernard's coming back. He's doing our sketches like he did last year for the charity event. And some he's working with us for the costume contest and a couple other things. So,
great. So when is – now, you are doing a Stargate – you're doing a multiverse party again or not?
Right. Well, for the last several years, we've had our games night, which everybody comes to the room. Sometimes we have teams. Sometimes we just have several different Stargate-themed games going on. Sometimes there's trivia. And then this past year, we had what was our first ever large room track party. And there were pros and there were cons. And the con was basically it was really dark and the music was really loud and you really didn't know what was going on. The only two things that you could see really going on were the green screen photos where we put everybody in front of a green screen and then later put them in front of a Stargate of their choice. They got to pick it out that night and then everything went online and they got to download, you know, later in the week. And all the monies collected from that went to last year's charity, the Lupus Foundation. And Pierre, as I mentioned, was there doing portrait sketches. And he had these tag stickers he had created to put down at the bottom that had his name and the event and the date and all kinds of stuff. And he was signing them and personalizing them. I think he drew like flowers in someone's Stargate. He put Stargates behind everyone. And they came out so nicely. I used mine as my Facebook photo for quite a while. I said he made me look 19, so it was all
good. Oh, can he do my picture too?
There you go. Awesome. Yeah, exactly.
You want him to add some years to
what we've done here? Is we've merged those two events. So we've got the crowd music. The lights are going to be up. It's going to be games night in large room format. And the Trek track is sharing the spotlight with us on that one. They're also coming in. I'm going to be doing the green screen photos again with, you know, with some new backgrounds, some of the same backgrounds. But also they're getting me some Trek backgrounds, the various bridges and stuff. So if you want to come in your Admiral's uniform or whatever, I'm not real familiar with Trek, but there will be people on site to correct me. The costuming track is having a big event that night and they're going to be sending people our way. I'm going to have period backdrops. You know how sometimes you go and you dress up in a costume and they put you in a sepia saloon, you know, it looks like an old timey picture. We're going to have options similar to that. I'm going to have Victorian England backdrops. I'm going to have Wild West backdrops, that kind of stuff.
What night are you doing this?
This is on Saturday night. It runs from 8:30 until generally until 12:30. If they kick us out at 12:30, we'll go. But if not, we'll just keep going. It is going it's going to be in the Westin in the Peachtree Ballrooms A through F.
You're all in the Westin this year.
We are in the Westin except for our charity auction and the Supergate panel immediately preceding that on Sunday. So other than 2:30 and 4 on Sunday afternoon, all of our events this year, from our track room to our large events, are going to be in the Westin.
And where are you on – I'm sorry, Jamie. Keep going.
No, that's a problem. We're actually a lot more excited about the location because at first when we heard, oh, you're moving to the Westin, it's kind of away from the center of things a little bit. But as you know, the Westin is kind of diagonally across from the Hard Rock. And whenever we walked into the hotel from street level – there's our track room. So we're really excited. Yeah. It's right there on the left as you come into the hotel. So it's not like you have to walk that far once you get to the Westin. So pretty great.
And I've got a question. Where are you on Sunday? You said you're in a different room. Are you in the Hyatt or?
On Sunday at 2:30, our large room panel with our guests, which is going to have somebody from every one of the shows, is in the Hyatt Centennial Ballroom 2 and 3. Which is where we used to be all the time. So it's a familiar stomping ground. And then our charity auction, which runs from 4 to 6, and then, you know, or a little after if we have a lot of stuff, which we're still hoping to get, is right down the hall from there in Regency 5, where it is every year. It starts at 4 o'clock. It technically ends at 6:30. We usually try to wrap it around 6 so there's time for people to cash out and pick up their stuff.
And I will actually be on Sunday at 4 o'clock in Regency 6 doing a warehouse panel. So
awesome.
Very cool. But you guys really do a lot with the charity. You do a lot with that. You guys raised a buku of money last year. I'm going to give you guys props for that.
Shocked. Yeah, thank you.
I am really – you guys did. You did a great job. And, Jen, the charity this year, you're very involved with.
Yes, this is a charity that's near and dear to me. I had actually put in a request 2 years ago for last year's charity to be this group. And because the Lupus Foundation was so near and dear to Pat Henry and his family, they didn't know anything about my particular choice of charity. Obviously, we went with the Lupus Foundation. It was fantastic. We got to meet some great people last year and really helped them do some good. This year, Sherry Henry encouraged me to put the proposal forth again, and it was accepted. It's the National Inclusion Project. It is obviously a nonprofit that helps children with disabilities, and not just like physical disabilities from, say, an accident or whatever, but with my son in particular. He has Down syndrome. That's why I'm so close to this. Maybe I should just go on to that. But helps include them in summer camps and in educational programs, along to be co-educated with children without disabilities, because it's been shown that when these groups are put together, it's not just the children with disabilities that benefit. The children without disabilities learn more about sharing. They learn more about other people. They learn more about being more open-minded with other groups as well, not just with other different abilities. I'm at a loss for words right now, but they also work to, you know, to educate educators on these inclusive practices. So, or on these inclusion practices. It was started, it's a relatively new charity. It was started, I believe, in 2003 by one of the American Idol finalists at the time as a special education final project. And I believe it was a directed study, or I know there's a whole history behind it, but and it took off. It has really spread information and understanding about people with different abilities. Also in people first language, rather than saying that Down syndrome child, it's the child with Down syndrome. Rather than saying that mute kid over there, it's the child that communicates differently. It's about calling people people instead of their condition. I could go on for hours, so you might want to stop me.
Well, no, I think that's really good. And John, in the IM chat window, you've got two links to the images for the PDF of this.
Yes,
and
I do.
I tear up as I'm saying this, and I know you guys think I'm a big sap if you're listening to this, but I do. Every year, Dragon Con picks a great charity, and we pick charities that are near and dear to Dragon Con's heart for many different reasons. Last year, we picked lupus because we have some people on staff who have lupus. This year, Jennifer, as she just said, has pushed this forward with her son and with many others that she knows and family she's worked with. So I just want to greatly encourage people to go to the charity auctions, to go to the, silent auction, to go whenever, and to donate. Because these are really, really worthy causes that Dragon Con gives to. And every year when we give money, we're making a really big difference. I think, and Jennifer, I'm going to kind of probably mess up these numbers, so jump in. But for every $1,000, that's a week at camp for a kid.
Right. It's along those lines. I thought to pull all this up ahead of time.
I actually think that's the right number.
I think that's exactly right.
So, like, for every $1,000 is a week at camp for one of these kids. And that is a life-changing event, people, and you're really helping people. So you're getting a piece of fandom or a piece of Dragon Con, which you will treasure and love, and these children that you are helping are getting something that they will treasure and love and remember forever. Right. So please.
Yeah, it bears mentioning also that our Stargate auction runs 4 to 6, but the Dragon Con auction runs from 10 o'clock that morning on. So all day Sunday, there is an auction going on in Regency 5 of the Hyatt. So if you're not a Stargate fan, if you're, you know, young adult literature, or if you're into Trek, or if you're into Brit Lit or Brit shows or what have you, there are things, people donate from every genre to Dragon Con every year. And that's what, they're running a lot of that from 10 a.m. And I think they wrap theirs at 3 or 3:30 to cash everybody out.
Well, so, and the other thing is, as you heard last year, if anybody listened to these podcasts, we had John and Eric, who run the charity convention on, sorry, the charity auction.
Right.
That we have something from every fandom. I mean, Jennifer and Jamie get this amazing stuff from Stargate, which thank you, Stargate, if you're listening. You guys are awesome. But John and Eric get it from every other fandom, and it's there that you can bid on or you can do the silent auction on, and all of that money is going to charity. Dragon Con takes not one dime. All of it is in a check that goes directly to that charity. So yeah. I seriously, people, I mean, I'm really big about the blood drive because I had a blood donation years and years ago, which probably saved my life. And so I'm also really big about this charity because I know it is helping people and families. And I am seriously tearing up, which is means I'm a really big sap, or I'm very, very tired, or both.
Well, and no, that's but you understand the impact, though. You yeah. get that this is,
yeah.
I mean, it's okay. I am all for supporting big organizations like the American Heart Association, the American Diabetes yes. Association. They all do fabulous work.
Red Cross, all of them. Great, great, right. great work, yes.
But like, I've just blanked on her name. Maria told us last year, the $40,000 that Dragon Con raised for the Lupus Foundation last year, that's their annual operating budget. You know, and we wow. handed them a check for it, essentially. That's like national inclusion. Everyone that voted during the Pepsi challenge, oh my God, thank you so, so much. We so helped much. Them win a $50,000 grant from Pepsi. You know, that was getting the word out, spreading the word. They're doing it again this month. And if they don't yeah. get approved for it in August, if they're not in the top 10, they won't get to roll over to September. But still, Dragon Con and the people at large that all contribute, that attend, that listen, that, you know, connect on Facebook and everywhere else, they help make things happen. I mean, we're 40,000 people strong, you know, so even that's like if everyone gave a dollar, if everyone just yeah. dropped by the charity booth and handed Everett or John or whoever's working a dollar. And so this is for the charity drive. That's $40,000 right there without even considering an auction.
Yeah.
So and that's amazing.
That's amazing. So, okay. So let's get back to fandom. Well, sorry,
can I ask one more question first? Do we have a goal set for this year? Did I miss it?
We actually don't. Obviously we would like to see the tradition go on. Last year was a real shocker. For Stargate alone, we did 28,000, and that was mainly because we had a really, really awesome donation. I want to give a shout out to QMX Quantum Mechanics.
Yes.
They basically showed up with a secret case, and it contained almost working, the closest thing to working models of the Zat-Nikotel guns from Stargate. And,
oh.
and if you know our fandom, people who do our costuming, they always use the plaster cast molds for those, and you have one that has to be in the closed position and one in the open position. Well, they roll in here with these two cases and open them up and show us live right there in front of everybody. You press a button and it opens and poses into the open and closed. And they said, we have a person that works for our organization that we're very close to who has lupus, and we want to donate the zero, which is the prototype, and the number one of these. And the two of those, by the time we did kind of a race auction with those two items alone raised $10,000.
Wow.
And we were blown away. And
I would like to just say, I just had a very private moment thinking about having a working
yeah.
back. I didn't say that in my out loud voice, but yeah, that's kind of awesome.
It was
okay.
Really super awesome.
It really was.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
oh, God, that's awesome.
Well, and we had Martin Garrow walk in with a piece of original art that a friend of his had done about the Atlantis show in an old 60s game style, you know, 60s board game style. It had different like things drawn in there. And he had, what was it, number 3 of 3, I think, Jamie? Or
actually,
two
he had I think he had 3 of them. I'm right. Sold all three of those.
Hand numbered by the artist. Well, it started going and started going, and the bidding got up to like $2,000. And Martin walks up to the stage, and this is Martin Giro from Stargate, you know, one of our guests. He walks up, he goes, you know, he says, I'll say, I didn't expect this to go for more than a few hundred dollars, but if y'all are going to pay $2,000, I don't even remember, I'm thinking it was $2,000, Jamie.
It was $2,000, yeah.
He says, I'll actually let a second one go. He says, I only need one. So he donated two pieces of original art that are never going to be reproduced.
Yeah.
Just because he saw the passion of everybody and what we were doing. And it just, I mean, I lost it. Brenda Tackett and I, when the bidding was going for the Zat guns, we were there in tears. And it just, it was like, this is not happening. This is amazing.
And that is amazing. So I am stunned by your fans. I am stunned by the actors and the guests you've had and everything they've given. Because that's just amazing. It's just amazing. So.
Well, and another nice thing about the National Inclusion Project, Lee, is that it's not just for the kids. I mean, though that in itself is reason enough to give to this charity. But whenever you are a person, and I'm an educator myself, and whenever you work with kids that have special needs, you change. And you change in a really, really awesome way. You just become more accepting. You learn how to deal with difference and diversity. And it just makes you a more whole person. And that's a big goal of this project as well, is to get people to have those experiences so that we can all be better people. And, you know, National Inclusion is just it's an awesome organization. And we're looking forward to supporting it this year.
Yeah, and it's a great one. So, all right, let's talk about your track for a minute. Let's go back to the fandom and Dragon Con. So, on your track, what's new this year that people you really are hoping the big crowds come to? Other than Flanagan burlesque show. No, I'm joking. That's not happening.
That's the one in your head, Lee. We didn't put it on the schedule, honey. I told you. I'm sorry.
I sent you that one. I sent it to you.
But there was no room. We have this year.
Room. Wait, hold on a second.
We have six room guest panels this year, and David Nykl is coming to our track room for a seventh celebrity panel, so to speak. He will be in our track room at 1 p.m. on Saturday. We called it House Call Dr. Radek Zelenka. He's all by his lonesome. We're bringing back the Stargate Interactive this year.
We probably need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Stargate Interactive is something we kind of concocted a few years back. Basically, it's our version of a fan interactive episode screening. Engage in raucous behavior and usually have some props to throw around and toss about. It's kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show meets Mystery Science Theater meets Stargate. And that's going to be in our track room 8:30 on Friday night.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, everyone who comes basically gets a goodie bag and some instructions about how to use their goodies during the showing. And we watch an episode and act up.
Okay, say it again. When is this?
That's 8:30 on Friday night.
Oh, damn it. I've got something I have to do.
It runs for 2.5 hours. We might run it twice.
I'll see. Okay, cool. And so you have lots of amazing things. That'll be great. And then, okay, so talking, John, do you want to ask
ahead.
A question?
No. Oh, no. Well,
going?
Yeah.
Or are you?
Yeah. Go ahead, Lee.
All right. So, Jamie and Jennifer, outside of your track, what are you excited about seeing or going to try to see?
Does the Sanctuary panel count?
No. So listen to that evil laugh.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm actually excited about some of the guests from the Guild that are going to be there, the webcast, web series. Felicia Day is going to be in, and I'm excited to get to meet her. I've missed her last year. Robin Thorson, who plays the mage, Clara, is going to be here, and I think a few others. So I think I'm going to try to get over there a couple of times in the Walk of Fame. So that's always a lot of fun. And honestly, we usually get so busy working on track stuff, we don't get out much. I love to go out and nerd shop. So I like to hit the vendor booths and buy things because, you know, here in our little nestled corners of geekdom, we don't get to...
I love how you say that. Yeah.
Everything you have to buy is online. You know, you don't actually get to go and meet people who sell the stuff that we like to buy. So it's kind of fun to do that. So I'm looking
forward to that. I have found time for myself on Saturday to go with my child. On Friday and Saturday, I have a couple of little areas where I can actually go down to the dealer's room with him because he loves to like show me stuff and say, I'm thinking about that. And I'm thinking about that. What do you think? And we have these long discussions about why that's a good idea or a bad idea or whatever. So, and you would be very happy. He's getting into SG-1
and
I'm with him on Atlantis because you know, SG-1 broke my heart. So I've got to get him into Atlantis. So, so that's okay. But yeah, so awesome. So very cool. So very, very cool.
Well, let me ask you from last year, what particular was there a panel that worked really well that you weren't expecting to necessarily be as successful as it was? Besides, obviously, the charity auction. Was there something that really caught you off guard last year as being really successful?
Well, we had a really awesome guest that came in, and I don't think we have him back this year, but we had a group come in that did some academic panels for us, and in particular, one that was really successful was the relationship between Norse mythology and Stargate, in particular with the Asgard as a people of one of the alien races, and that whole panel, everyone just sat in awe. It was basically a PowerPoint presentation and talked about the connections with the language and the culture and where the idea of who the Goa'uld were in SG-1. That was just a stunning panel, and we wanted to thank Dr. Tom Noakes for that. It was really, really awesome, and hope to have him back sometime.
Very cool. Very cool.
Well, is there a particular panel besides your big ones that you're looking forward to this year?
One of our fans that's been a volunteer for years is running a prosthetics and effects panel on Sunday afternoon at 1. He's several times done some pretty astounding, you know, Wraith effects with the breathing slits and the teeth and the this, that, and the other. And he's going to do a how-to. He's going to bring in some of his material. He actually works in special effects now. And he's bringing in a bunch of stuff. People can come in and sit down at a round table and learn how to make their own Wraith prosthetics, or, you know, he's going to be on hand to help them do other things. So we might see a little, you know, Stargate zombie crossover at some point there, I'm thinking. But he says most of what he does, you can do for under $10. With if not household items, then stuff that you can get really easily. So you don't have to spend the hundreds and thousands of dollars that the studios put into this to get something that will work for a fandom, you know, and some of it would even do well on screen. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he does that.
Cool. Now, let me ask you this, since I have the SG-1 experts here, or Stargate experts. I've never really gotten into Stargate, but if I was to like say want to sit down with my son and start watching Stargate, should I just start at the very beginning? Or?
Yes, very good place to start.
Them's fine words. I mean, you just bring that out, John, and everybody talks about it.
Lee, she'd say start with the first episode Joe Flanagan's in. But see, then if you did that, you would miss all the continuity from the first 8 years of SG-1.
Oh, yeah, but you can totally miss that. Let's see.
Wow.
Oh, you can totally miss that. It depends. I mean, but see, the thing about Stargate Atlantis, although you do need the continuity from SG-1, you can get it in little bits and pieces. You can.
Oh, but you would never get all the in-jokes. What's your point?
You would never get all the in-jokes, but you do get them racing cars down the Atlantis corridors, which is kind of cool.
What about you, Jane? What's your opinion on this?
Such a boy thing.
I'm a big SG-1 fan. I won't lie. I love the interaction of the original four cast members, and then later on with the second team. I think that it's a lot to watch starting with SG-1, and the first couple of seasons, now that you know, we've had so much more and it's gone so much deeper into the context of the characters. It's a little more difficult to watch the first two seasons, but they just continue to get better and better. Love the development with Daniel Jackson and with Jack O'Neill. That whole storyline of how they change and affect each other is just a huge bit of our fandom. And because they really start as being opposite ends of a spectrum, and before the series is over, you really see how in common they really are. And that's pretty cool.
Jamie, what episode is it when Daniel does the angry dance with the guys in mud? That's like season one or season two.
This might be a dream you had, Lee.
No, it's not.
Lee, this isn't sounding at all familiar.
No. It's going to drive me crazy until I find it. He's like, no. And he's like stamping his foot and dancing in a circle. Daniel is. I think it's season two. Oh, shush up. All right. Keep
with
asking.
Guys in mud.
It is. I'm going to go find it, and then you guys will leave me alone.
Are they all in Speedos, Lee?
No, they were not all in Speedos. That's Red Speedos is X-Files, not SG-1.
What?
perhaps we need to take a break here and figure out.
Speedo in X-Files. Oh, my God. How can you guys forget that? All right.
Because David Duchovny was not my focus in the X-Files.
Really?
It was a smoking man.
Remember, I have a thing for Amanda Tapping.
True.
She was not my first girl crush in sci-fi.
Okay, gotcha. That's true. That is true. Sam, okay, keep going, John.
Okay, so Dancing Guys in Mud, don't watch that episode, even though it's not available anywhere.
It is totally.
Sure it is. You have the fanfic right here.
I do not. I'm looking for this.
Well, she's trying to find this fictional piece
she's
of work.
Drive me crazy.
Let me ask you guys. Let me ask you the traditional question. I probably asked this to you last year as well. But if you could have three guests, and nobody from the let's just eliminate the Stargate universe altogether. If you could have three guests that you really want to see at Dragon Con, you know, alive, dead, whatever. Who would they be?
Holy crap.
That's a tough question, but I'll tell you what. Number one, because we've never had him here, we would love to have Richard Dean Anderson.
No, he just eliminated the Stargate.
He's coming from MacGyver, though. That's why, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
From MacGyver.
You said Stargate Universe. You weren't talking about our series Stargate Universe. You were talking about outside of our fandom.
Yeah, outside of your fandom, yeah. Who would it be outside? Who outside of your fandom, your normal SG fandom, would you like to see? But again, you could sneak Richard Dean Anderson in there as a MacGyver, but then he couldn't be on your guys' panel, on any of your guys'
That's
panels.
Right.
So,
well, I have to go straight for the one that I just mentioned would be Gillian Anderson.
Oh, nice!
Yo,
she was one of the first. I mean, to me, I'm not going to claim in all of sci-fi, but I mean, I was, a teenager when the X-Files came on the air, and was.
Oh God, I'm old.
Shut up.
Okay.
That was the first time I saw a female character that wasn't the damsel in distress that actually got in there and had a brain and used it. Mm-hmm. And it was huge for me because I was the math geek in high school myself. And it's like, hey, I mean, that's part of, you know, my affection for the Sam Carter character too, is because of all kinds of stuff from when I was younger. But anyway, I'd have to say Gillian Anderson. I don't know if I can come up with three.
Oh, I'll tell you who won that I would like to see, which is absolutely not possible, Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime would come to Dragon Con and would like make my world. How cool would that be? I mean, because
do you need the whole Optimus or just the person that does the voice?
Or just the Prime?
Oh, no. Optimus Prime. Like,
no, I really want Optimus Prime to roll out and roll into Dragon Con, and he can ditch the truck off the back. If it's just him in the front, that's fine. I understand the size limitations. But the Marriott could hold him. So,
I've got my second one. Never mind, go ahead.
Okay, go for it.
David Krumholtz. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, from Numbers. That would be awesome if he would
I would geek out completely.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Yes.
Oh, he's an incredible actor. And
he's amazing. He's been in, like, all kinds of little bits of everything. I mean, my God, he was an elf in the Santa Claus. Come on. Seriously? Funniest thing ever.
Yes, he was.
But I would love to meet, and he's the one that stabbed Kelly Martin in ER. He was crazy in that one. He had all kinds of problems.
He is a very, very versatile actor. I would love to have lunch with David Krumholtz and just talk.
Well, you know, I'm kind of a numbers geek because I'm a math teacher, and I've used those episodes as ways to teach different parts of lessons and things. And I think it would be really neat because as a human being, David Krumholtz was not a math expert. He'll admit that he didn't do so well in Algebra 1 several times, as a matter of fact. And now he plays this – well, he did play until just a few years ago, just an amazing math scholar, and can carry that as believably as anyone could possibly. I mean, it's an amazing show, and I think he would be great to have on.
That would be very cool.
And Chris Colfer from Glee. He's 19 – or did he just turn 20? 20, 21, somewhere in there, and he's already just done amazing things with Glee. He's a spokesman for the Trevor Project. He has written his own screenplay. He's written a pilot for Disney. He is doing like 1,600 different things right now, and he's not even, you know, he's barely out of high school.
Which character does he play on Glee?
It's Kurt Hummel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't watch Glee. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really do.
He's awesome. He does watch Glee. Hard once a week.
No.
Call me back later. We'll totally Glee out.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Anyway. Let's do that. Oh, sorry. I mean,
sounds fun. Yeah. Anyway. That would be fantastic. I wish they'd get those guys to Dragon Con. I mean, I know they're not sci-fi, but they are certainly pop culture. So
yes, they are. Yes, well, they're a big Starship. Pop culture phenomenon.
Jamie, I think you owe us one.
For what?
One
I
guest.
I came up with my three, boy. Come on.
One more person to come.
Well, you had Optimus Prime show up.
Well, yeah. Optimus Prime,
transform and roll out.
Very nice.
Anyway, sorry.
He found it.
Okay. Well, it was on my soundboard. I just wasn't quick enough to find it.
I know.
Anyway, third person for me. Or character.
Let's see. I don't know. One of the ones that I've met before at Dragon Con, and I would love to see him again, is LeVar Burton.
Nice.
He's a hero of mine because not only did he play Geordi in Star Trek Next Generation, but he also, not many people know this, I don't think, he's a voice actor and was in Captain Planet, and I absolutely loved the character that he played. He was the African kid, Kwame, with the power of Earth, and that was I've always kind of liked that character, and that show, for the short time that it was around, I kind of liked it. So I thought it was pretty cool. But LeVar
Burton. And here I thought you were going to say because of Reading Rainbow.
You know what? I have actually, this is a bad thing to admit, I have never watched an episode of Reading Rainbow. Not once.
Yeah,
and I love to read, and I love to tell kids about reading, but I have not watched
Shut the front door.
He also did a great guest appearance on Community this past season, too.
Yeah.
He was really funny.
And you guys know I can't find the SG-1 episode I'm talking about. But
shocker.
It doesn't exist.
It does, too. Daniel was wearing this.
Fan fiction.
It was not. Daniel was wearing the stupid hat, not like the little cat thing, but the little, like, the one that looks
the
like
safari
a
hat.
Yeah, the safari hat. And he got mad at Jack, and he stomped his foot and, like, did in a circle. And there were people that were, like, covered in this gray mud. And people will know this episode, and I can't believe I can't remember it. It's driving me crazy. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, my cousin is sitting here and has just been watching like all of SG-1, and she's got this incredibly confused look on her face because she's seen like all of them in the last 35 days.
It was an early one, and I think Richard Dean Anderson's hair had just gone gray. So it wasn't season one.
That would have been season two.
Yeah. Season two or season three. And they like yelled at each other because it was like, Jack, you don't understand. And he was yelling at him.
The name of that episode, I think the name of that episode was Rule 63, wasn't it, or something?
I hate you so much, Shusha. It was not.
Wait. I may be just about to save you, Lee. Could it have been White Mud and They Don't Talk and there were mushroom spores?
Yes! That one!
Crap. I actually just validated her.
Well.
It was not fan fiction. What episode was that?
I don't know. I remember the episode, but I mean, I remember the storyline. Give me a second. You guys talk about something, I'll find it.
See? Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha.
If it's that one, Jen, I think it's in season 8.
No. It was early on. About season 5, because I got mad. I got mad and took my toys and went home. Sorry. I totally did.
All right. Well, she's trying to look that up. Jamie, let's go ahead and ask you. So the convention's over.
Yes.
Everything's wrapped up. It's Tuesday morning. What is your plan for that day?
Well, my plan for that day is eventually to drive back to Kentucky because it's about a 6-hour drive. But one of the things that I like the most about the morning after Dragon Con is that there's sort of this effect of the spell ending over the hotels. I don't know if you've ever witnessed this, but you'll start to see it's like you've seen for 4 days, you've seen everybody in crazy costumes. And you have a soundbite coming across.
Yeah, I think Lee may have put her microphone down next to her microphone or speaker.
Da-da-da. Lee, mute your mic, babe.
So now we're going to have to edit. No, we don't edit. Okay, she's gone. Anyway, so go on. The spell
is wearing off. Like, you've had people in costume for 4 straight days, and by this point, you almost feel like that's the normal status of the Marriott and all these hotels that are linked together. And on Tuesday morning, you start to see the spell wear off because you'll see people that are in half costumes, and the rest of their body is kind of dressed up like normal. Like, I know a couple years ago, I saw a guy, and he was wearing a business suit down to the waist, and then he was wearing a kilt. And I was like, this is amazing. It's kind of like the pumpkin is changing back, you know, from the carriage. And nice. It's pretty funny to see that morning up because people aren't willing to let the con go, you know. So it's kind of fun. But, yeah, my plan for that day is to do some people watching and then get on the road, head back to Kentucky.
How about you, Jennifer?
The silence is deafening at that point. I walk around the hotel usually. I have this overbearing feeling that I've left something somewhere. I go back, I check the track room, I check my room, and then eventually I go home. But yeah, usually my husband and kids go home the night before because we stay for the dead dog and then we have our gathering for staff and everything. So it's usually that moment of coming back to reality where you go, wait, there's real life to go back to? Yeah, it's not really, it's sort of a de-stress and veg out kind of day for me. It's I don't do anything highly exciting. I drive 6 hours back to Mobile.
For me, though, not on Tuesday.
Oh,
yeah.
Are we getting an echo?
Yeah, now I'm getting it from Jennifer.
Sorry.
The days after when I go back into the high school classroom, and usually kids have heard me talk about the fact that I'm getting ready for con and that sort of thing, and then tell them about what we do with the charity and things like that. When I come back, I usually try to load up a goodie bag full of stuff and ask them a whole bunch of crappy math questions and toss out goodies to the gang. So,
aww.
Yeah, I usually pick up a whole sleeve of those Dragon Con cups from the Dragon Con store, which are always an inexpensive thing to pick up. You know, you throw $20, $30 down, you get a whole big row of cups and that sort of thing, and toss out pencils or anything else that I can find, little knick-knack buttons and that sort of thing to people.
And, John, mm-hmm. I would like it noted, Season 2, Episode 19, One False Step, Jennifer found it. I did not read fan fiction. You cannot prove it. Ha-ha!
You win this time, Lee.
I win this time.
All right, so let's...
And really, kind of the last thing, that's the bow on this one. I really do. I win this time.
Let's go over real quick. Any sites or Twitter accounts or anything to keep track of? And also, I'll remind everyone again when the auction is for you guys.
Okay. You can get to all of our other multi-networking, whatever. You can go to
Social networking.
Thank you, Lee. So, sgmultiverse.org. And that homepage has our forums. It has how to get to our Facebook group. We are phasing out the Yahoo group because I'm tired of hearing that I have a new private message from somebody that really, really wants to contact me. And so we're phasing that out. We're inviting everybody to come over to our forums, which you can get to from the homepage. Or if you're on Facebook, join us over there because I send out the announcements to both of those areas. And we have ceased using the LiveJournal and the MySpace. So we do have a Twitter account. It's SGMTrack. You can follow us there. And you can also access our Google Calendar if you go to our homepage or to our forums. As a matter of fact, it's also on Facebook. I just remembered I posted it there as well. So you can download it so that you can put our schedule in your phone for easy access Dragon Con weekend. Thank you. Have a nice day. And oh, I'm sorry, you said and remind everybody, the charity events are our Saturday evening party at 8:30 in the Westin Peachtree Ballrooms A through F, and then our charity auction for Stargate is from 4 to 6 p.m. on Sunday at the Hyatt in the Regency 5 Ballroom.
And all of you that missed it last year, now you know all the cool stuff you missed out on last year, so don't let that happen again this year.
Because there will be even more cool stuff this year.
Oh, yeah. And the one more opportunity for the charity, if you want to participate at Hard Rock Cafe, they're going to be selling the official Dragon Con pin, which is also going to be National Inclusion Project based. So there is going to be a limited edition pin that you can pick up if you're interested in that sort of collection.
Sweet.
And if you get to Hard Rock fast enough. Also the costuming track is having a masked ball on Friday evening, and they are going to be selling the masks. Are mandatory. If you want to come in, you have to have a mask. And they're making masks. I mean, everything from the paper ones that you pick up blank and people are drawing. I think they were talking about having some of the actual artists that are coming, the comic book artists and the other artists, making some of these masks. They're doing, I've seen a couple of the, I believe they're called boiled leather masks. That they're have from, I think, from $5 on up. And those, every bit of the proceeds that are taken in from selling these masks are going to National Inclusion. They're not going to materials. They're not going to the people that are making the masks. They're doing all of that for a charity drive.
And I think Regina mentioned it back on the podcast. She did. But was it, is it in the Westin as well?
That,
or is it in the Hyatt?
I think it's in the Hyatt, and the mask ball is going to be Friday night starting around 9:30 or 10.
Okay. And that runs for several hours as well.
It runs until they kick him out of the Hyatt, which probably will be about 6 a.m. the next
morning. Monday morning.
On Monday morning. Well, you got to start using those rooms around 9 o'clock. So, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, again, thank you guys for joining us. And you guys, just as a reminder, you guys are in the Westin this year, along with Whedonverse and Alternate History and the new Kaleidoscope, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Is Apocalypse Rising?
Oh, and Apocalypse Rising, too.
And I believe the Wheel of Time track, Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time, moved over there as well.
Oh, there's like six tracks
there? There are six or eight tracks over there now. Wow. It's like they're slowly migrating us up there. So.
Wow, nice. So there's no reason not to go over to the Westin.
Exactly.
There's plenty of
The Westin is a very, very cool hotel. Should go over there. Yes.
All right. So I guess that's it. So for Jennifer, Jamie, Lee, and the rest of the guys at the Unique Geek, until next time, peace.
Woohoo.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.